Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a podcast analytics platform that enables podcasters to see all the relevant data they need to know about their podcast's audience. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the referral code Wrestling2XPod. Again, the code Wrestling2XPod.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Veda Zane.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Hey, this is TJP, the Phil-Am Flash, and you are listening to Stan, Ro, Chino, and Camos on the Wrestling Podcast.
You are listening to and watching the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C, Ro Moran, and Chino Liao at your service for tonight as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of Chris Jericho. So, yun yung big event on Dynamite kanina. I'm super happy as a fan of Chris Jericho that we get to celebrate that. Before we get into it, thank you to everybody who's already joining us on the live stream. We are live on facebook.com/wrestlingwrestlingpodcast, on Kumu at wrestlingwrestlingpod, live din tayo dyan. And if for whatever reason you check in later during the stream, you can catch the entire episode on Spotify or on your favorite podcast podcatchers on the internet. And if you missed this week's special audio-only episode, we were talking to Nino. So he was one of the guys behind yung theme songs ni JDL and the PWOGs. Dami nami stories about wrestling, breaking down the psychology of wrestling music, and how he and Chino were at the show where Hiromu Takahashi got severely injured. So you can catch all of that on Spotify. Thank you to Dapski, one of our fellow kapodcasts on PNA, for sending us a lechon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Dapski.
You can catch her and Jam every Friday at 11 a.m. for Kumu Sapang Radio. So the local locals got one of those time slots. So congratulations to them, our podcasts, our really good friends in the network and in the industry as well. Okay, let's talk about Chris Jericho and him celebrating the 30th anniversary. I think a big takeaway from the episode was they're really teasing and planting seeds for the Jericho-MJF feud, right? And I'm excited ako because those promos, I mean, the promos now are fun, but they're going to be even more captivating down the road, diba?
I actually thought they were going to push the button. I thought they pushed the button already on today's episode. I was watching it just before we went on air.
Yeah,
but he already got snarky, got bitchy toward MJF. And I thought this was it. And I was thinking, no, this is way too early for this to happen. Buti na lang kumabig siya ng konti and teased us a little. It won't be that List of Jericho moment with Kevin Owens just yet.
I'm having a hard time trying to figure out your face sa kanila.
That's true. Right? I was also thinking about that.
Who are you gonna root for? This asshole or that asshole?
Feeling si Jericho because he's a sentimental favorite. Siya yung matanday.
But Jericho has the numbers though.
Yeah, so Jericho has the behind him. He has the muscle.
Great point. Sure.
Unless this is something I kind of picked up on and heard in the background of BTE, because I watch BTE now. My God. MJF might actually take Jericho's slot in the inner circle. That's one of the things they threw out there. What if MJF joins the inner circle? That's something somebody threw out there. And it's an interesting proposition because Jericho has a seat of power now. And what happens if they take away that seat from him? Right? Make MJF even more powerful. So I think that's a pretty good angle on this supposed rivalry.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I never thought na MJF could take Jericho's spot in the inner circle, leaving Jericho all by himself. So, siya yung magiging kawawa in that case, di ba?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the inner circle guys are pretty loyal to him, though. So, I don't see how they're going to write that. Parang, when you look at it, the inner circle guys are responsible, or see Jericho as being responsible for their TV time. I don't know where they would be without him, to be honest with you. So, paano nila susulatin yun is my question.
Well, I think they have a lot of time naman before they even get to that point where MJF and Jericho have to get in each other's faces for real, for real. If anything, I like how the slow burn is really teasing us. Kind of like yung Jericho-Owens feud from 2017, di ba? Late 2016 palang tinitease na nila eh, na hala, baka mag-break up na tong dalawa. Pero they were able to stretch it and turn it into a WrestleMania angle. So that's a testament, I guess, to yung patience within the wrestling industry, even though it's not necessarily standard or consistent among any promotion or any promoter for that matter. But zooming out, I want to take a moment to celebrate yung legacy ni Chris Jericho, because I was thinking about this in the shower kanina and I realized that I think Chris Jericho is this generation's Ric Flair.
I like how you're thinking of Chris Jericho in the shower.
Chris Jericho was my hero, sir. I will think about Chris Jericho whenever the fuck I want.
Okay. Go on.
I'm beginning to think na he is the Ric Flair of this generation in terms of not just longevity, pero yung I guess how he was able to go beyond wrestling and really extend himself and his relevance. Kasi Ric Flair, yeah, you can see his effects in hip-hop. You can see his effects on yung pop culture nung 80s, diba? And even until today, like decades later. But with Jericho, he became relevant even in rock music, where you wouldn't really expect a wrestler to be relevant. Just look at yung mga names who appeared on his well-wishers. Diba? You got members of KISS. You got Lars Ulrich from Metallica. Yeah, he had Slash of Guns N' Roses. He had people like Kevin Smith and Gabriel Iglesias all, you know, wishing him well and stuff. So it really says a lot about the versatility niya. And I think na that's actually more impressive than what Flair managed to do. Kasi si Flair, parang medyo limited lang talaga sa wrestling yung na-achieve niya. But that's me. Those are my thoughts on it. Go ahead.
I feel like that it's too early to say that he's this generation's Ric Flair. Ric Flair has been around a lot longer, obviously. Therefore, he's had more leeway, more time to get his roots, dig his roots into popular culture. Now, that said, I'm not saying Chris Jericho isn't popular, but if you were to ask a random person, non-smart person, in the middle of nowhere, who these two are, chances are, mas marirecognize nila si Ric Flair. The woos and the figure fours and the catchphrases are still synonymous with somebody. Whereas with Jericho, and this is nothing against what he does, he's had so many catchphrases and character changes that's really hard to pinpoint. I'm not taking it. It sounds like I'm taking a shot at Jericho, but I'm not. I'm just saying that hindi sila comparable right now. That's it. I still respect Chris Jericho. He was my favorite wrestler growing up. When he made the switch to the WWE as Y2J, I marked out totally. I know a person who changed her name from Katrina to Y2K just because she loves Chris Jericho that much. So in all our childhoods, all the times we've been watching wrestling, a lot of us can relate to a particular Jericho moment. And that just goes to show how meaningful his career has been in this past 3 decades.
Okay, I don't think much of Jericho lately because of his political BS. So,
yeah, his politics suck.
Yeah, so but I agree that everyone has to have their problematic fave, so you can have that one. He's not high on my list right now. But I'm going to agree with Admin Angela, who said in the comments that Jericho is Jericho and he is on his own level. Now, I would say that if we're talking about who the Ric Flair of this generation is, I would probably go say it's Cena more than Jericho. But I would say that, you know, Jericho is really Jericho. I think he deserves to be his own niche or be his own tier, if you will.
All right. I think that's fair. You know, I'm just really in awe, I guess, of everything he's achieved from ECW, WCW, Japan, New Japan then in, you know, his current run, AEW. WWE. Everything he's done, all the gimmick changes. You know, we asked Nino this week on the pod which gimmick his favorite is. And ako naman, as a Jericho-holic, my favorite is probably a toss-up between Bockwinkle Jericho from the late 2000s or List of Jericho from yung last run niya sa WWE. So, you know, we all have our favorites, right? And everybody's also sounding off in the comment section just how much, you know, what impact Jericho has had on their fandom. I want to take this moment to shout out that Gago promo from 2016. Because I think, lahat tayo mga fans, we really remember that because that was here on Philippine soil. And he took the time to learn the word Gago. Now, for me, he didn't have to, but he did for, you know, shits and giggles. And that means a lot to me as a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good work. Really good work as a promo guy to learn another language. Yeah. Go, Gina.
Especially since during that night, you could tell that a lot of the guys were just phoning it in with regards to the promos. Right? They were just giving us the hits. About the New Day, they just did the Manila and then this, did their whole thing, the classics. But Jericho actually went out of his way to craft a bespoke promo for the paying audience in Manila. And that just goes to show the level of professionalism and entertainment value he brings to the world of wrestling.
I was told that he does that every time he goes to a different country. So medyo may pagka greatest hits din yun. But at least it is, you know, kind of hardworking, if you will. It's not just your typical English promo. I think Mr. Kennedy also did that when he was here. Yeah. So props to those guys who do that, who learn something in the native language just to get some kind of over.
Yeah, and if you're really into studying the business and trying to get into the brain of a wrestler, I would really recommend his books. Jericho's books actually have a lot of nuggets na kapupulutan mo ng aral in terms of learning how the business works, learning how to be an effective babyface, learning how to be an effective heel. I would say that some of the work that I ended up doing with PWR, I actually got off the books of Chris Jericho. So it goes to show na, you know, he's able to teach them even through his books. So there, congratulations to Chris Jericho. 30 years in the business, and it's not far-fetched that he'll be around for a little bit longer. So, yeah. All right. Next on our docket for tonight, let's pay tribute naman to Glow. So, we found out a couple days ago that Netflix has pulled the plug on Glow after they'd produced or shot one episode or two episodes. Obviously, result ito ng pandemic. Glow is an ensemble cast, diba? 15, 16 main characters. And then they wrestle. And then you've got a crew. So it really became just not feasible for them to keep producing the show, even though they'd promised that there will be a fourth and final season. So following yung cancellation and Glow, Mark Maron went to social media. He's the guy who plays Sam Sylvia. And he called on Netflix to say na everybody from the cast, the crew, the fans, they're all clamoring for a proper way to end the story. So kahit 2-hour movie, okay na. So now they've got this campaign going on from the Glow cast. And I think it's pretty heartwarming na, you know, Glow is reality is imitating art in this case. Kasi that's kind of what they did in the show, diba? They were trying to save their show. And now in reality, they are literally saving their show. So I'm all for this.
Yeah, I agree. I think Netflix just did it for the pandemic budget cuts. So I think when things get better, I don't doubt that they won't be open to, or they will be open to rather, a way to end Glow properly. Sana fourth season, no? Kasi I'd rather have it spread out over the course of 10 episodes than to have it crammed in one movie. But whatever happens or whatever they decide to do, I think it'll work. Glow is such a great TV series that introduced wrestling to a lot of non-wrestling fans. I'm so glad to hear our friends who are not usually wrestling fans talk about Glow and say that they love Glow because, yep. It's one way to spread the sport we love to them, to the non-believers, if you will.
You guys have said it all. The Glow is this complex sitcom or dramedy about a very misunderstood art form in professional wrestling. And not only that, it was also a very strong take on the female perspective, diba? It was very forward with its agenda of empowering women and giving women a fighting chance, especially in a male-dominated sport. And yeah, it sucks to see show let blow bid farewell during this time. Madami na apektuhan ngayon. You're all in a pandemic, and no, unfortunately, has to be one of those casualties. Now, that said, I do want them to have a movie. Everybody wants to see this have a definitive end. If it's going to actually happen, that's another thing. There's a strong chance it might, because they've already shot most of the fourth season anyway, or some of the fourth season anyway.
Yeah, 2 episodes pa lang.
2 episodes pa lang. Yeah.
Big groundwork na for all of that, right? Whether they continue with the actual fourth season, which might be unlikely, or a movie, which might be likelier, given that mas mura yun sa, mas matipid yun sa wallet ng Netflix, right? I just wish for them to, you know, have a conclusive end for their series.
Yeah, Jackie says on the comment section, if you hound Netflix enough, they'll do it, because that's the exact same thing that happened with Sense8. So, you know, if you really love Glow the way we do, let's put the pressure on Netflix. Let's jump aboard yung campaign, you know, Marc Maron and the rest of the cast of Glow, and let's save Glow.
I just want to mention this take by our friend Jace Damantay. He said that Netflix lacks the taste in shows to keep. I don't really think that's always the case. It's really always based on the viewership of each show. So they keep the shows that are obviously trending and pull in a lot of viewers. So that's why your everyone's favorite 13 Reasons Why gets a bunch of seasons, because it is notorious and people watch it. Whoa. Even if you hate watch something, that counts as a watch kasi. So all those hits go towards saving keeping the show around. So if you really wanted to keep Glow, the best thing to do right now would be to drive up its viewership of the three seasons that are on Netflix right now. That, I don't know if that's going to work, but it's better than also just campaigning on Twitter and making noise.
Oh, child, guys, don't say that it's don't say that it's a taste thing. Because taste is subjective, guys. Come on. Not everybody's going to like the same thing. Sucks that Glow's gone. But then there are other shows that got canceled that are sad that they're gone too, diba? But you know, who knows? These campaigns that drive up interest might actually lead to something. Community went through the same thing. And now the talks of the movie are renewed. So there's always something to it. Now let's get to some Kumu thoughts from some of our people on here. Rich Mendoza said hello a while back. Hello to you.
Hello.
Rich also says, I love Glow, double sad face. Yeah, we all love Glow. Alvin Mello, with regard to Mr. Kennedy back in 2008?
I think it was.
2008. 2006, 2009 yun.
Oh, one of those years, the early aughts, says, yeah, Pac-Man Morales during that time as a heel, Kennedy sided with Morales. And then Eugene, who was his opponent, apparently, came out in a Pac-Man, Pac-Man Pacquiao jacket. There we go. He also says that he feels bad that Glow was canceled. Ravel 143 says, I want Karrion Kross for an NXT return. Matagal pa yon, medyo injured si Kuya. Alvin Mello says, limited na lang ang resting sa Glow no season 2. That's pretty true. But then again, it's a sitcom. It's not a wrestling promotion. You
know? Yeah, it's about the wrestlers.
It's not about the action in the ring. And even if there was action, it's not like you were going to get Broadway's. It's not the place for that. But it's about wrestling, and that's why you watch it. And Rach Mendoza agrees that she wants a proper ending to the show. So yun eh, yun yung mga Kumu shoutouts natin.
All right.
All right, thanks for that, Chino. Now we'll take a quick break, and we'll hear from our other podcasts here on Podcast Network Asia.
Hi, this is Rika.
Hi, this is JC. So you like listening to podcasts?
Try listening to ours. It's called The Hala Hala Show.
Yeah, we talk about X, Y, and Z.
It's called Our Lives.
Yeah, also the trending topics. We talk about what's going on in the world. And we'll read some of your fan mail if you send it to us.
Ooh, fan mail. I never thought that we would have fan mail.
Yeah.
But we're here with two.
Yes, and it's available wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever you listen to all your favorite podcasts, to any of your Podcast Network Asia shows as well. So after listening to this one, why don't you give us a try?
Please, go listen to our show, okay?
Slurp on.
Slurpers.
Sobrang ganda talaga ng production value natin. That 30-second break never fails to crack me up. Speaking of production value, yeah, may bago ng mic zero, courtesy of PNA.
Thanks, PNA. So, thanks, Boss Joseph, for the ayuda.
Doon napunta yung budget for Kamos. That's over. I'm sorry, Kamos, if you're listening to this.
Kung nagsabi sa amin, ha, walang ano.
Oo nga. Wala ko sinasabi dito.
Eh, kasi I like Kamos. That's why I can say that. I mean,
All right.
Okay, anyway, there was a comment earlier on Kumu na, you know, oh, sayang, I can't really watch wrestling in my drama shows. If you want wrestling in your drama, wait for Heels. So that's coming out from Stars. So Stephen Amell is the star of that show, and that's the reason why Cody was gone. That's why Brody Lee took him out, and now Cody is back. So tapos na yung filming nun, and he is now TNT champion once again. So that happened in a very brutal dog collar match. Thank you. Very brutal dog collar match. We even saw Greg the Hammer Valentine in the crowd. Feeling ko nakatulog nga siya nung match.
Yeah, I don't think he appreciated it.
Yeah, I did though. I actually enjoyed the match. It was very compelling. I think there's something about bull rope matches that automatically rope me in because it always reminds me of Eddie Guerrero and JBL. But this one was really, really brutal. Both guys were bleeding. Sakto lang yung involvement ng Dark Order. You know, it was not a cluster F. I really thought na it was satisfying. The way that it ended, I think that there really wasn't any other way to go about it. I didn't really want anyone else to defeat Brody other than Cody. So I liked it.
Here's the thing. I didn't want Brody to lose. It was only 5-6 weeks as per Brody's own estimation. So that is way too short for a championship reign, especially for a heel boss of a big faction that they're trying to build up. Mid-card faction pa man yan, I don't care. I think that Brody should have been made to look even better. Even though it was still a pretty brutal match, I actually thought it could have gone longer. Especially considering that I think AEW matches go long. But I don't know, man. I don't know where the Dark Order goes from here, especially next week. It's Orange Cassidy going up against Cody. Parang na-echapuera na lang sila after that. I don't know. I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like Cody push.
I will jump off of Rose point and 100% agree that this was totally a mistake for them to put the title back on Cody, who doesn't need it, by the way. He doesn't need the rub, right? The fact that he came back in all black was hype enough for him to be put over, diba? It's not like people will forget who he is, diba? Because first of all, he started the company with the 4 or 5 other guys, right? So he was already immediately on top. I watched, like I said, I watched BTE now a lot. And this is my major gripe with AEW as I've continued to watch their extended universe with regards to Dark and BTE. Apparently, BTE is canon, right? It's all canon now.
But the championship canon.
It's always been.
No, the BTE championship.
Even the characters on the show
are actually
canon. Right? So, that being said, it sends me mixed signals on how to take the Dark Order. Are they a comedy troupe or are they a serious faction? Because on Dynamite, they're badasses. They destroy the competition. But on BTE, they make fun of John Silver and Anna Jay beats up Stu Grayson like he was nobody. So paano mo sila si serious awayin, diba? Kung nagpapakengkoy sila doing breakdancing contests and John Silver saying, Johnny Hungy. Diba? And at the same time, losing the title to Cody. How are you going to take them seriously as the evil heel faction, if that's the case? Diba? I don't know how you can tie those two together without it being ridiculous. There are just a lot of things that are negated by BTE, which makes the storytelling of AEW even all the more confusing.
Feeling ko the problem lang is that BTE was turned into canon. Like, if it was kept as a web show that really just broke kayfabe, then mas katanggap-tanggap ata kay Chino to. I mean, I don't know because I've never seen BTE ever. I've never seen an episode. So, for me, I don't have that problem in my head in terms of the AEW narrative. I don't even watch Dark just because there's too much content going around. So, all I really have are Dynamite episodes and whatever videos I see on Twitter na supplementals. That's it.
Being part of MSG, I think there's a space to be for a heel group to be serious and goofy, like LIJ before, right? And Suzuki-gun sometimes. But especially Minoru Suzuki. He is both goofy and serious whenever he wants to be. But
that's right.
I don't think that right now the Dark Order is that should be that group. So I think they should stick to one mode and run with it for a while before they establish enough credibility to be both. So I don't know.
Bro, I think I know the reason why masasabi mo yun about groups like LIJ or Suzuki-gun. It's because they've been around long enough that there are enough layers to their characters. About the Dark Order is, what, a year old?
Mm.
Brody Lee has only been on AEW for like half a year. So there hasn't been enough time to really flesh out these characters, your motivations nila. How do you differentiate John Silver John Silver from Alex Reynolds, diba? I mean, yeah, I can tell them apart. Pero si Five, diba? What makes Five special other than his name is Alan Angels? Yung mga bagay na yun, you can only really flesh that out over time. And I think over time, they can earn that gray area. They can earn those nuances. Pero I will agree na for now, they have to stick to just being a badass heel group na nakakatakot. And until they get there, parang they'll continuously get defanged with things like this.
Yes.
I do understand where you're coming from. Na maybe Cody winning is probably not the best idea.
Yep.
Yeah, you love.
Yeah, I just want to see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, wala time ago, he already put the title on himself.
Yeah.
I just want a more coherent story. Just that. Just a something that's tied together, not as loose, but a bunch of loose threads just floating in the ether. Diba? Oh, may idea over this, gawin natin. May idea over this, gawin natin. And then not intersecting at certain points. Because that, to me, it's very confusing storytelling.
Mm. Yeah. I 100% understand. All right, from one heel faction in the Dark Order, we go to Retribution. Tara, pag-usapan na natin. The big reveal from this week, their leader is apparently Mustafa Ali. Okay, where do we start?
I like how they gave Mustafa Ali something to do. He was supposed to be the hacker. Supposedly, yeah. He was supposed to be the hacker. Now, that never happened, or obviously. And now, for some reason, he's a heel now. I don't think we've ever seen him as a heel, right? He even have we seen him as a heel?
Yeah, we have. I think he was a heel for like one or two episodes in the Cruiserweight Classic or on 205. But so they really made it a point to drive home na babyface na ako when he became the babyface.
Yeah. He works a little bit of heel sometimes on main event. That's it. Mostly, for the most part, he is a baby face.
Wala siyang concrete heel persona, right? He's still, mostly for the most part, himself, the light bringer, Ali, right? Or whatever his moniker was.
That's Quattro's moniker.
So, basta, the thing... Light guy. What do you call
light bringer din siya, but okay.
Light bringer.
He is the heart of 205 Live.
Heart of 205 Live. There we go. I like how they're giving guys that don't really have a character. You know what I mean? They're giving somebody a persona other than just being themselves. Because for the most part, a lot of these guys are themselves amplified to 1,000, which is the core basis of any sort of character in wrestling, diba? But with Ali, they took it to a whole different level by making him a leader of a heel faction that was just out there to be disruptive as all hell. Diba? That was Retribution's main point. And I am intrigued and enthused by the idea that Ali is also claiming to be on the same boat, in the same boat as guys like T-Bar and Maze and Slapjack, who feel like they've been mistreated in their entire WWE run. Sabihin na natin, yes, Ali does have a gripe to play in this scenario. He lost the Money in the Bank match to Brock Lesnar, of all people. He was already at the top of the ladder. He Instagrammed a photo of all three of them in various stages of their NXT and or WWE career. So may pinaghugutan din si Ali. Now whether it'll make sense in the end, that's again. So for me, it's still too early to tell because isang best pa lang nangyari, di ba? Malay mo, they get traded to other shows for all we know, right? So it's still too early, but I am intrigued.
Okay, at first, I didn't like it at first because I thought it was a case of creative not having anything for both Ali and Retribution. So, kala ko random pairing lang. But as Chino mentioned, if you guys don't follow Ali on social media, he is really, really hardworking when it comes to explaining stuff. That pati yung main event matches niya, the matches on WWE main event, he goes the extra mile, if you will, to explain those and give them a little backstory and give them a little promotion. So the thing now is, actually, I don't know if this is Ali turning heel or Retribution turning face. Because with the way Ali explains things, it could be either one. And it could really be going back to Retribution being mad over the fact that they have been slighted by the WWE over their individual careers, as Chino mentioned with the Instagram post featuring Ali, T-Bar, Mace, and Slapjack. Could be that, but it could also be a heel thing. But we don't really know kasi magulo ang WWE creative, magulo si Vince. And it also is confusing when you consider the fact that they are feuding against the Hurt Business, which is a heel group. So I am here now. At least I am intrigued to see where this goes next. I don't have any high hopes for it, but I am hopeful that Ali has enough pull or has enough resourcefulness and hard work in him to figure out where to take the direction of this angle. I mean, where to take the angle, right? So yeah, I don't know. Maybe something there.
I think your biggest clue really is the type of reaction WWE pipes in. And for Retribution, boo pa rin eh. So that's your biggest clue that their alignment is still heel. Here's another question I want you guys to chew on. In the past, Mustafa Ali has been very vocal about how he doesn't want to be a heel kasi it kind of teaches kids in the audience to hate people who look like him. And there are racial undertones to that statement kasi he used to come out to be parang a terrorist character, like a foreign heel, di ba? And we all know about yung ganung klaseng racial tension in the U.S., yes. That being said, is it a good idea for Mustafa Ali, given his self-awareness about his race, his looks, to be a heel? Like, is that a good idea or will that undo the work he'd been trying to do?
I don't know. It depends kasi on how he is portrayed. I don't think... Somebody asked me this on Curious Cat and they asked if this was going to be a stereotype thing. I don't think they're playing to any terrorist stereotypes. I don't think Vince is astute enough with the goings-on in the real world to paint this as some sort of terrorist group or to model this after Black Lives Matter. I just think that Ali bad because Ali is destroying WWE. That's it. That's the effort they're putting into with Retribution right now.
And I think with his motivation to turn heel, he's a little vindicated in the fact that he wants to upset the order of things. He wants to change the status quo because he feels like he's been wronged by it. Right? It's not because of a race thing. It's not because of a religious thing like other wrestlers of his heritage have been portrayed as. It's simply something that comes from a place of being mistreated and being misused. Diba? And so goes for guys like T-Bar, like Bajakovic and Mace in Dio Madden. Diba? These guys have been mistreated and misused as well. Diba? It's a gathering of misfits. It's people finding a common goal to unite. And if anything, I feel like this will lead them to a switch, a turn down the ways. But again, it's still too early to say.
I think then, and I might be giving someone a little bit more credit here, but I don't think Ali would have agreed if it meant racially profiling him as a terrorist. That's just me.
Yeah, that's fair. Last note on Retribution. Neil mentioned sa comments natin na there are interesting Twitter threads going around analyzing Retribution and why they exist and really connecting all these dots bukod pa to dun sa mga tinweet at pinos ni Ali on Instagram. Ro, what do you think about this? Because I know you have opinions on fanfiction and people connecting the dots that WWE should.
It's nice. It's nice to think about. It's nice to read about. But at the end of the day, you really can't give that much credit to the writers. Maybe some writers have thought of it. Maybe that's what they intended at the beginning. But considering Vince McMahon and what he how he approves stuff, how he approves the creative direction, I don't think na these nuances were really the point, or they were really approved by him. So at this point, you really just are creating fan fiction, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just not the official intention.
All right. Before we get to our next topic for tonight, Chino, may shoutouts and comments ba tayo on Kumu?
Okay, we got a lot of people joining us. A few new followers, mainly.
Hey.
George Bogart, thank you for the
thank
follow.
Thank you, thank
you. Sorry, salamat,
George
salamat.
Bogart and Rovell143 and Rossell2347. Magkamanganak ba kayo? Anyway, thank you for the follow here on Kumu. Also say, oh, thank you for the follow. Give me buckets. And JC1 is now following us. Thank you, JC1. He also wants to know how to join in PH Wrestling. You ask these guys because they know.
Well, you message the different promotions in the Philippines right now. That's pretty much what we can tell you.
I will
we're not connected
right
to anyone.
Now. Yeah, I will tell
wala
you.
Pa.
Walang mangyayari sa'yo.
No, walang mangyayari ngayon.
Sa bahay ka muna. Work out ka lang dyan. Kasi,
guys, stay at home.
Yung
stay at home, may pandemia pa.
Yung USC nga, di pwede mag-practice eh.
Yes.
Yung wrestling pa.
Say what's up to Rohan the 6th and XCZ, JC1, Yel Hawkson, Cammy Kim, Ian Chris, Mother Earth Day C62, and Gimme Buckets for joining us. Cool.
Jimmy Buckets?
Uy! Jimmy Buckets.
Jimmy Buckets.
Buckets. Okay. Jimmy Butler nandito.
Okay. JK says, next week sa Kumu na raw siya manonood. Sige, not gonna stop you, man. We'd love that. And
yeah,
Maui
yeah,
says in the comment section, hope I can join this podcast soon. Well, guess what? You're already a part of it because you're chiming in the comment section. And, you know, we acknowledge our listeners and our viewers who stop by, say hi, and join the watering hole of fellow Filipino wrestling fans. Okay, next up for tonight, we got to talk about NXT TakeOver 31. You see it in Rose's background. Kushida just cranking it in and trying to break the Velveteen Dream apart. And since we did that, I just mentioned the injuries. Let's start with those kasi napaka-unfortunate na mga pangyayari.
Ang dami injury.
Yeah. Sobrang dami. So the main event, pareho silang injured. Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. So Finn Balor is out with a minor injury. He doesn't have
fracture.
To relinquish yung NXT title. Yeah, broken jaw in two places. And apparently,
jaw.
Impacted din yung wisdom tooth niya. Buti di pa kailangan tanggalin. So, yun yung kanya. With Kyle O'Reilly, I think it was a rib injury, tama ba? Or like a...
No, I think he had broken teeth.
Yeah, he lost teeth, right?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And then the worst of it all was Ridge Holland basically pulling a Gordon Hayward, that gruesome ankle injury on NXT just a few hours ago nung sinalo niya si Oney Lorcan tapos naka-tiptoe siya.
Oof.
So, okay, where do we start here? I think yung pinaka-grabe is Ridge, right?
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. It's really just a matter of bad form. It's not something that you can be mindful about all the time. So, it's just really a bad freak accident. So, I hope that he doesn't have to miss too much time. I hope it's not so bad. But we don't know yet. Wala pa atang update. Get well soon, Ridge Holland.
Also, I mean, sayang yung push niya because remember NXT TakeOver 31 ended with him carrying Adam Cole, and if he has to miss more than a few months' time just to, you know, heal up, it'll just kill his buzz, and it's so unfortunate when that happens, you know, because you're building a star, you're actually building somebody up who was relatively unknown and who was very, very much hyped on the dark interwebs. So it sucks to see him, you know, miss time, miss action.
Yeah, I'm a Ridge Holland fan. I love what he brings to the table. And I was really excited na, oh wow, Ridge is getting involved with the Undisputed Era. So diba, after TakeOver 31, ang daming theories. Sina Roddy and Bobby Fish ba yung nanggulpi kay Adam Cole? And was Ridge just the one bringing Adam Cole to Kyle O'Reilly? Or did Ridge really target Adam Cole? Tapos yung Undisputed Era, if a 4-on-1 siya, ganun ba? So ang daming questions. And sayang nga. So, I don't know how they're going to go from here. But as for Finn and Kyle O'Reilly, who suffered dental injuries, sabi nga ni Aldrin sa comments, buti na lang si Adam Cole, may kilalang dentista.
I mean,
Dr. Britt Baker will tell you herself that a lot of her clients are the wrestlers. Kasi nasa Florida din naman sila.
Yep, so, exactly. You
okay, from the injury talk naman, let's talk about comebacks. So Ember Moon made a big comeback on NXT this week, and she's repackaged. She's got this new vibe about her, new gear, new music. I like it. Even her Eclipse looks so much better now than it used to. I don't know why, but I like this Ember Moon. I actually care about
Chino
this.
Chino has something to say about Ember Moon.
Yes. Can I just say how we are all idiots? All three of us are idiots. Because a week ago, we said that this person was fucking Bo Dallas.
No, wait. Take a lang. I remember saying was that people have been speculating that it was Bo Dallas, given the clues. Yung clue daw is that foundational part of NXT.
Oh my god.
But is I actually don't know where that clue came from, actually.
Okay, first of all, is that more believable than somebody coming back from injury? Something that happens all the fucking time? And I'm sorry I'm cussing on here, but it happens all the time. Meanwhile, nobody has seen Bo Dallas on TV. I haven't seen him on TV. Have you guys seen him on TV? Nobody knows.
He should be, though.
Nobody knows where Bo Dallas is. And overall, him to be dropped in the middle of the title picture? Come on, guys. We're smarter than this.
I just wanted to see who it would be. Because I really didn't know who I wanted it to be. At that point.
To be fair, NXT champion nga naman si Ember Moon. Well, hindi naman sila sinungaling.
But the rumors did say it could be either.
That was one of the main headlines, diba? Former NXT champion making his or her comeback.
Assuming tayo, na lalaki yung babalik, eh. Babae pala.
Nobody said, kasi diba yung Google Translate na voiceover dun sa vignette niya, parehong lalaki at babae. So it could really have been anyone.
Yes. Eto na lang. Could it have been
Bo Dallas?
I just wish that Ember actually did something nung takeover other than stand on stage.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yes.
Nakulangan ako dun eh. Parang si Ronda Rousey nung Royal Rumble 2018, di ba? Hi, I'm here. Tapos sabay turo sa WrestleMania sign. Tapos si Ember Moon, hi, I'm here. I'm on stage. Hello.
Especially since Tony Storm basically did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Diba? So you didn't need two of the same thing back to back.
Exactly.
If anything, I would have appreciated if Tony Storm was the returning champion because technically she also falls.
She also falls
under the same category. So I mean, it's nice. Gives Ember Moon something to do. Gives her more of the shine because, as we know, on the main roster, she's been misused a lot. Yeah. She's always played the victim when she doesn't look very victimizable. You know what I mean? Like she's very.
She's kawawa talaga, diba?
So you become an ally for her because she's very, very capable in the ring, right? And so for her to be brought back into a show that actually made her a star, I'm all for it, man.
Alam mo sino mo ang kawawa? Drake Maverick.
Wait, before we move on to that, I have something to say about the NXT Women's Championship on NXT TakeOver. Trisha Natividad is asking kailan daw ang Hell in a Cell. It is on October 25th, so that is next 2 weeks from now. Yeah.
Also, Prince RJC sent us a halo halo.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Okay, so about the NXT Women's Championship, I really think Io should have lost.
Yes.
Candice should have won that because she took a belt shot and there was no reason at all to kick out of that belt shot. It really made Candice look even weaker. Okay, maybe you're saying that Candice and Johnny are going up to the main roster on the draft this Saturday, but still. Come on, guys. At least don't do a spot like that if you were going to make her lose.
Yeah. I almost thought that Candice had it, especially since lumabas si Johnny. But that's how heels should win anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
With outside interference, especially from their heel husband. So,
or your own referee.
Diba? Exactly. Yeah. So for that to happen, you're already setting her up for victory, and to have the rug pulled under her like that didn't make sense for me at all.
Okay. I just want to talk about Drake Maverick really quickly because I enjoy this act he has with Killian Dane. Every couple of years, we have this odd couple storyline, diba? We end up enjoying it from Team Hell No to ano pa ba yung mga odd couple stories.
Even Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, exactly. The bar, diba? So you have stories like that every number of years. And I guess for 2020, we're getting Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. And I like it because Drake is so willing to just look so silly. Like, he's so such a different character now from the 205 Live general manager that first appeared in WWE. So it also tells you na very talented din siya as a character. And I love the chemistry he has with Killian Dane, because Killian Dane is also pretty funny even though he's trying not to be funny. So even him just resisting yung theme song na pinili ni Drake na sobrang katawa-tawa, Drake dancing and Killian Dane not giving a crap. I love it. I love everything about it. I want to see more. And ayun, it just puts a smile on my face. Favorite act in NXT right now.
All right.
Right. So I don't know if you guys watched Drake Maverick as Rockstar Spud, but I actually caught him once or twice, and he was still pretty silly as Rockstar Spud. Like you don't really take him seriously as Rockstar Spud. So you can understand where this charisma is coming from, right?
He's really good. He's really
actually very, very versatile. He can play the straight guy, he can be the silly character. And at the same time, I feel the same way about Killian Dane as well. Having seen him a few of the social media posts outside of kayfabe, I know that he's actually a very lovable, very funny guy. Diba? So for him to be able to play the straight guy in this situation, a guy that doesn't laugh at all, doesn't give an F about whatever, it's very good. Like, it's a very odd couple, as odd couples get.
How can we forget the Rock and Sock connection? Another example of odd couple.
Or booking Ian Goldust. Even more recently, the Bruiserweights.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Yeah, tama.
Odd couple nga sila.
Right. So there, odd couple storylines always make me happy. Okay, we've got an update on the third-party issues in WWE as well as our thoughts on the upcoming WWE draft. That's coming up after this quick break from our friends at Podcast Network Asia.
Hi guys, my name is Francesca.
And you've got me, Jelly.
You've got Del here.
All right, so we hear that you like to listen to podcasts. You know what? That is pretty cool. It's the in thing to do right now.
And we've got one. It's called The Eavesdrop. Do check it out, okay? We like to talk about everything and anything that's probably on your mind.
Unfiltered, unedited, sometimes to our own disadvantage. But go check it out after listening to this one.
All right, Ro, what do you have for us in terms of the updates ng third-party issues with WWE?
Okay, so apparently WWE is going to take over Twitch accounts from the wrestlers who have them. Wait, let me pull it up real quick. Pati Cameo, they're going to have a partnership with Cameo. So basically everything that every amount that the wrestlers will make through these platforms, WWE will take, and the wrestlers will only receive a percentage of that revenue.
So parang merch deal.
Yeah, what's even worse is that the revenue from these platforms, if any, will count against the downside guarantee, which is the minimum they receive before any gates of the shows or any events, before the proceeds of any events are factored in. So sobrang dala, I think a few have already spoken up. Paige, Dakota Kai have spoken up against the edict, but I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do about it.
Yeah, this is a really problematic labor issue. And I think Andrew Yang commented on it again right after this news broke. Diba? It says a lot about how much of a misnomer the independent contractor status is for the talents, especially since WWE is really cracking down on their ability to make money outside of WWE. When the whole point of being an independent contractor is that you get na freelance ka, na you can make money with that main employer, I guess, for lack of a better term. And you can also go out and do your side hustles, kind of like with me on radio, diba? So when I'm on Wave, may sweldo ako from Wave. I'm theirs from 7 to 10 a.m. Monday to Friday, and you know, for any other time they might need me. But they also don't stop me from doing other gigs. Like, they don't stop me from making money on the podcast. If I want to make money from your shoutouts on shoutout.com, which you can order right now, by the way, either as an individual or as part of MSG, pwede rin. And Wave can't do anything about that because I am an independent contractor. So I don't understand why WWE is so gung-ho on just taking every piece of income that they can. Even when yung financial statements nila actually showed that despite the pandemic, they're not even in the red.
Honestly, I don't want to say too much about this anymore right now. Because we've beaten this issue over the head so many times, twice pata before, and it doesn't change. The fact is, someone, Vince McMahon, is probably greedy. despite the fact that he is still swimming in riches. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say about it. The only thing left to do is for the wrestlers to unionize, to stand up for their rights. And until that happens, we're just going to be talking about the same things over and over. There's nothing new to add to this.
It's interesting that you brought up unionization, because a few of the wrestlers out there, Paige namely and Zelina Vega, have tweeted vague remarks about unionization on Twitter. One of the things that popped up right now. Now, I know I said something completely opposed to whatever you guys are saying right now, have been saying for the past few weeks, but I'm actually surprised at how much all of this has actually escalated. Right? And then now all of a sudden, puede, pero they want to take control. And now they're actually forcing the people to do streams. Right? They're actually forcing them to create content exceeding the minimum amount of labor they're supposed to do in. Right? They're asking for overtime without getting paid overtime. Right? So it's a very ludicrous situation all around. It's ridiculous how it's gotten so bad so fast. Like, why is this happening right now? Why is this happening when everybody's in a pandemic? Are we all just trying to be the worst people right now?
No, Vince is trying to be the worst person right now.
Like, why is this happening right now? It does not make sense. And if Andrew Yang ends up saving the WWE, then I'm all for it. Like, if he comes
Gang
up
gang.
With him, right? If he becomes his own promotion, why not? Yeah, why not? Let him do whatever he wants.
We'll see.
Really used right now. We could have used someone like David Starr. Eh, kupal pala si David Starr.
Let's not talk about David Starr anymore. It's a curse.
Okay, we're moving on. Last item on our list for tonight, the WWE draft, which starts in a couple of days on SmackDown, and then it will continue on to Raw. So again, kanina, sinabi ko na we promised that we do a mock draft, pero as Admin Angelo pointed out in the comment section so astutely, wala namang magbabago. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go through each brand, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and we're just gonna tell you what they need. So think of it as yung pre-draft shows sa NBA or your favorite sports leagues where they look at the different franchises involved and they evaluate their needs. So we're gonna start with Raw because that's the flagship brand. And I'm going to start by saying that Raw needs tag teams because they just broke everybody up. Male tag teams, female tag teams. That's what they need.
Yep, they do. I was going to say that actually. But they also need star women. Right now, they don't have Becky. They don't even have Charlotte. They only have Asuka. They have Shayna, who is not a big star right now. So they need someone to go up against Asuka and to draw on the women's side. I don't know who that's going to be. It could have been Io if Io lost yesterday on TakeOver. Could be Candice maybe, but Candice is going to start on the bottom of the totem pole if she ever gets drafted to Raw. So they need to build stars on that show.
Yeah, ako star building them din. I agree with what you guys have said. I also feel like Raw needs to send a lot of their guys away. They need to cut the fat, so to speak. So yeah, a lot more guys than they need. Even if you say it's a 3-hour show, they don't need all those guys. They can send some of those guys to other shows, and they'll still be the better show for it.
That's true. Ito lang, ko. I think Raw also needs a secondary babyface. Because they've got Drew on top, sure. They've got Rey, who is legend status at this point. They've got Dominic, who's in the up and up. And they've got Kevin Owens, who might be going to SmackDown. Keith Lee, who is being built up pero medyo nandun na rin sa upper mid card, but that's it. Those are your top baby faces on Raw, and they need yung secondary top baby faces to hover around in case something happens to Drew, whether he turns heel or moves to a different show or gets injured or whatever. Hopefully he doesn't get injured, knock on wood. Yun lang, medyo kulang sila ng secondary baby face for me.
They need a number 3 and a number 4, because Keith Lee to me is their number 2 right now. They don't have Edge because Edge was supposed to be another big face for them, but he's injured.
Injured.
Okay, now let's go to SmackDown. What does SmackDown need right now?
SmackDown needs tag teams as well. Sorry.
Do they though?
Yes, they do. They really do. I have been watching SmackDown for a month, and it has been nonstop permutations of Cesaro and Nakamura versus the Lucha House Party. So they need more tag teams from Raw, ideally.
You know, they could always just call up the Forgotten Sons again.
Well, they could use the two guys other than Jackson Riker.
Yeah, well, that's actually a possibility. They don't actually.
I wouldn't be opposed to that because Jackson is the only problematic guy among the three.
That's true. But yeah, I do feel like they need tag teams as well. The problem here is there are only so many tag teams on the main roster so far that you're really going to be forced to pull tag teams from NXT. And what I know I'm jumping ahead here, call NXT because they'll lose a lot of their tag teams as well. But at the same time, you bolster the tag team divisions on both of your quote-unquote main shows. So that's always good. I also feel like they also need more people on their main card, on their headliner card, because apart from Roman Reigns, the Usos, and the Fiend, it's a very thin lineup. Like AJ,
Braun. I don't know where Braun is anymore. Actually.
He's technically SmackDown, but he's appearing on Raw because of the brand to brand Invitational or whatever the fuck.
Right.
Oh wow, hindi ko na isip yun. But then I feel like even with Braun, medyo kulang pa rin siya. There's not a lot. If the Fiend is supposed to be a face, and that makes him one face against.
No, the Fiend is a heel ulit because he went after Kevin Owens.
Okay, so then what happened to him face so far? Yeah. Apart from Jey Uso. So they need a lot more faces on that card. They also need less guys on their mid card because it's almost stacked on mid card.
Yes, that is super. That's true. It's super stacked.
They need a lot less guys. They need to send guys to different brands or promote those guys because that mid-card can only hold so much room. Right? Give Daniel Bryan the rub. Give AJ Styles the rub. Give whoever else is taking up space at the mid-card the rub because they need it, man.
Yeah, that's true. I could see Big E going up to main event status on SmackDown.
True. Okay.
Phoenix AJ Styles will move back to Raw. And it's kind of weird because he was already on Raw earlier this year, but we know about his beef with Paul Heyman. So I think the logical thing to do is to move him to Raw. And since medyo kailangan din naman nila ng secondary player, they can just move him to Raw, turn him face again, and we won't really mind because it's AJ.
That's true. Also true.
There are rumors that Roman Reigns and the Usos will eventually form a stable after this whole feud ends. So what do you think about that? Because that reforms the Usos and it gives SmackDown that big heel stable naman to revolve the stories around.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, especially if you're going to get The Rock for WrestleMania.
Yes.
But it does go to show that you are having a hard time building up baby faces on your show, which is why you need to promote some of those mid-carders.
Yeah, no, I agree with both points. On sakin lang, we're still in a pandemic, so you're really going to have limited resources to go around, right? And if this is one of the ways to make the product more interesting, I'm all for it because again, it sets up Roman very well for The Rock to make an appearance for WrestleMania.
Hey, fortunately for Raw and SmackDown, they've got a very stacked NXT roster to pull talent from at a time like this.
Yumpa.
So there's that. Okay, let's divide this part into two. Because the first is, which NXT guys and girls do you think are getting called up? And the second is, what does NXT need? Because they've been reinforced in recent months with Finn Balor, with Breezango, and then with people from NXT UK moving on to NXT itself. So, for starters, who's leaving NXT? Who do you think is leaving, aside from Gargano and Candice, who we've already mentioned?
Akala ko sabihin mo sino magiging bagong member ng Retribution.
I think yun na yun because Raw has already pulled so much from through Retribution. That's I think that's all NXT could afford to lose at this point.
What about the Undisputed Era?
No, I don't think so.
I think they're staying put. I think it's likely that Candice and John might get called up. But it's still on the fence for me. They might call up a few of their women from the NXT roster. People like Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah.
Get a call up. I feel like I know she's involved in a feud with Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is another great one to do a call up for.
Yeah, they already teased it in WrestleMania.
Yeah, especially since she hasn't really been doing a lot as not a champion. Right? She's always just been meandering in the mid card, feuding with this girl and that girl and whoever else came along, forming random tag teams. So it would be a nice change of pace to send her up and swim with the big fish, if you will.
Okay, so those are our predictions for who you think might get called up. As for NXT's needs, what do they need right now?
They need a main eventer really bad. They need someone to go up against Finn. The Kyle O'Reilly experiment is great. That's a step in the right direction, but they also need more guys to help build the future, if you will, of the NXT main event.
Yeah, they need heels, the way I see it. Kasi nawala si Karrion Kross eh.
Yep.
Tapos nawala si Dijak when he turned face, diba? That was another big character that you could have revolved around. I don't know who can step up right now because si Cameron Grimes, I know that they're pushing him in that direction, but he's not quite there yet. So I don't know who that guy can be.
Someone from, I don't know, you know, not SmackDown.
I wouldn't be opposed to sending somebody like Ricochet back. I know he's not a heel, but again, it gives him somewhere to be other than be nowhere at all, right? To be like a background player, which he isn't, right? He's a main eventer, if you will.
Feeling so, may ano pa si may hindi pa tapos si Ricochet sa Roy, because I think he and Apollo still have a role to play in the Hurt Business Retribution story.
Yeah,
especially since their boy Mustafa Ali is the leader.
That's not ending anytime soon at all.
Knowing Raw, knowing WWE. Knowing Raw. So who will be? Sino kaya pwedeng ilagay sa NXT? What if, you know? What I want Chad Gable back on NXT.
Pwede. I wouldn't be opposed to that, and you know, give him back his Chad Gable name.
Yeah,
but he might be a face though.
I was thinking Cesaro, but in there, I like Cesaro on SmackDown.
Yeah, Cesaro's fine.
I want to say Samoa Joe. There have been rumors that he's making an in-ring comeback in NXT. Right? That Joe Finn rivalry was pretty good. So
it has to be someone who you haven't seen in the ring against Finn yet. Because if you're going to bring Joe back, you're just going to go 2015 all over again.
Ezekiel is saying that Rude could go back to NXT, but I don't think so. I think, pwede naman, actually, if they don't
kababalik find lang space, ng Roy.
Yeah, kababalik lang siya ng Raw, but it's still open season for drafting, so I don't mind. I don't know, really. I don't mind bringing Bobby Rude back, actually.
Here's the thing. With the pandemic, medyo na limit yung movement kasi NXT UK is out of the picture. I think this would be so much more compelling a conversation if you could talk about guys like Imperium making the jump, or if you could talk about one or two of the really outstanding NXT UK guys going to Raw or SmackDown. Pero wala eh. We are where we are. I mean, freaking Imperium is divided into two right now. They're literally in divide and conquer mode.
Yes, they are.
I would say that I want a couple of NXT tag teams to make the jump to Raw or SmackDown. Kasi medyo loaded yung tag team scene ng NXT eh. But you've got Oni and Birch, Undisputed Era, Breezango, Legado, Ever-Rise, Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. That's six already, just off the top of my head.
Even if you do draft them, though, it's not a guarantee that they'll be used well on the main roster.
I, of all the names you've mentioned, I don't see that. I don't see anybody getting past the jobber status real quick.
Yep.
Especially since you said Ever-Rise.
No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. No, you know what? Dave actually brings up a very good point. Aleister Black back to NXT. I want that. I'm tired of Aleister Black.
I'm not against that. Isn't he still doing the thing with Kevin Owens?
Yes, he is, and it's really bad.
It sucks.
I'm not against that. Okay, I'm not against that. Sure. They can go up against Finn. Why not? Aleister, why not?
If you need a woman to go back to NXT, Zelina. I wouldn't mind that either. Kasi medyo kulang pa yung build up niya on the main roster. So, you know, Zelina back to the NXT, why not?
Especially since she doesn't have Andrade and Garza anymore.
Yeah. So there, those are our quick thoughts on
Andrade would actually be a good pick to send back to NXT as well.
Yeah. Sino pa ba? Austin Theory, I think, is staying on NXT because we just got a tease of it nung earlier in the year, diba? Retribution to NXT, sabi ni LTO, no. we're already here. That's not gonna happen. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. All right. So there, those are our speculations, our predictions for the draft, and a quick evaluation of what each brand needs right now. If you have any thoughts you want to send our way, the comment section is still live or on Twitter, puede rin, in case you're listening to this on the audio only version. It's at Wrestling2XPod on Twitter. Individually, it is at Roiswar, at Chino Supersized, and at _StanC. Before we get out of here and get the picks of the week, Chino, last minute Kumu shoutouts on your end.
Okay, Jimmy Buckus is being very vocal on
our
thoughts. He asks, have we seen the Finn X-ray of his broken jaw? Yes, I have. Very disturbing. Also, he thinks that the plan is to turn basically have a undisputed era civil war with Colin Kyle and Heel and Strong. And Strong and Fish as heels for that. So that's another interesting thought. He also says, what else to say, on greeting third-party accounts from WWE during a pandemic. True. WWE records their most profitable year during a pandemic while cutting 40% of their workforce. Instead of having fun while doing Twitch, the wrestlers will be forced to work. Yes. So, you think about thoughts? Yeah, that is your thoughts. I think AJ will be drafted to Raw again. They need a babyface stable to go up against the soon to be Roman Empire. I don't think they need a stable, but okay. It might be enough for them to just exist, to have an existing heel stable for that. Sabby Prince RJC Gable for the North American Championship.
Yes, I'm in. Say no more.
Go for it.
And Sabby will get the Jimmy Buckets. Bring Ali to NXT and let him challenge for the NXT title while being the leader of Retribution. I don't see that happening.
Nope. Ito si Ezekiel sa Facebook. Jinder Mahal to NXT. Sure. Why not?
Sure, why not? Yeah. Why not? Also, Cedric Celesti is now following us on Kumu. Thank you, Cedric.
Hey, Cedric. Longtime fan. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cedric.
Okay, time for us to get to our picks of the week. And if you're new to the show, this is the part where we tell you the one match or segment or documentary or promo that you have to see kung wala kang time for wrestling this week. Okay, I'm going to start with mine. And it's Cody versus Brody Lee for the TNT Championship. Again, I just really like strap matches. This dog collar match was pretty compelling for me, even though may punto naman sina Ro and Chino with how they didn't like the result. I was satisfied by it, so I like it. It's my pick of the week.
Yeah, you were thinking about it in the shower.
No, I was thinking of Jericho in the shower, sir.
Okay, before I give my pick out, I'm going to say I'm changing it right now. I know I said I was picking the women's title match. I am no longer picking that because right after I watched TakeOver 31, I stumbled upon something on the WWE Network, the Best of Progress. They released a new version, new episode of the Best of Progress Wrestling on the network. And as a wrestling fan and as a Batman fan, guys, my pick of the week goes out to one Prince Devitt taking on one Zack Sabre Jr., wherein Virgil Devitt, the man formerly known as Prince Devitt, now Finn Balor, walks out dressed as Heath Ledger Joker.
Yeah, I remember that match.
Full regalia, without the pants, of course, but he has the suit on. He has the makeup on point. When he took off his suit, nakasulat niya isang coat ni Joker sa likod niya. It's very akin to his current run or his latest run as the Demon, wherein it's very graphic and it has a pointed message, but at the same time also still being very geeky, which is something that people have come to love about Virgil Prince Valor.
Teka, sino yung mas magandang cosplay ni Heath Ledger Joker? Finn or Rey?
I say Finn. Considering the budgets are playing a factor here, Prince Devitt, that's his name, right?
Yeah,
Prince Devitt did a better job with the makeup. The mask, he had the suit and the mask.
So it's LV mask niya.
Anyway, it was an homage to about more than anything. It wasn't like a loyal recreation of the outfit. Right. So I say Finn gets it. The match itself was very good, mind blowing.
He used to cosplay a lot more back in those days.
Oh, okay,
my pick of the week, I have to say, if I really had to choose one match over the week to pick, it would be the Cruiserweight Championship match, Swerve Scott versus Santos Escobar on NXT TakeOver. All good stuff. Actually, but I mean good stuff. Just take your pick of whatever wrestling, except for Raw or SmackDown even, and you will find a lot of good wrestling wherever you watch.
Yung ano yung Cruiserweight Championship binuhay nila yung Lucha Underground. Kill
yeah,
shot
that's true.
I also like how Beth Phoenix also alluded to the fact that Killshot also wrestled under a mask. I mean, That's great, man. To acknowledge the existence of Lucha Underground on a main show. That's solid.
Actually, gusto ko yung tandem nila eh. Silang tatlo. Vic Joseph, Wade Barrett, and Beth Phoenix. They're actually good. They haven't been together for very long, but they have instant chemistry. And sometimes it's just really hard to come by. And I'm particularly a fan of how Wade and Beth Phoenix are able to go back and forth while not stepping on each other. And that's very important, especially sa commentary, because bantering with one guy is hard. Bantering with two people is extra hard. Lalo na when you're both filling the same position, which is caller commentator. Neither Wade Barrett nor Beth Phoenix are heels. So, yep, you know,
true.
So mas mahirap yun because they're essentially playing the same role, which is grizzled vet. So maganda na Beth is able to add something without taking away from Wade Barrett and vice versa. So I just really have to give the props.
It's not mahirap din yan considering na they're not in the same room, diba? They're doing things remotely. And they're recording this as live. So the timing really has to be there and the chemistry really has to be on point. So yeah, that's something to add to this whole menagerie of NXT.
I was about to say, na tayong tatlo pa nga lang, hirap na hirap tayo, and we've been doing this for quite a while now. So, you know, having to adjust our current setup, it's kind of hard not to step on one another. So the fact that they're doing that flawlessly and seamlessly, they deserve all the credit. Pero kami, give us credit then because we're working on it. We're trying.
This isn't easy, you know.
Oh, dito madali. Promise. Yeah. Alam niyo yung babyface producer Nikai. Okay, before we get out of here, catch the next episode of the Wrestling Podcast because we've got Lucha Underground alumna, wrestling promoter, NWA Women's World Champion, Thunder Rosa, who you may have seen on AEW, who you may have seen on NWA Power and all those other shows that you're familiar with. She's joining us on the podcast. We're super excited. We've been doing our homework. In fact, we've got a running Google Doc with the questions we want to ask. But if you want to add to that Google Doc with your questions, sana yung mga disenteng tanong naman po, no? Just send them our way at Wrestling2XPod on Twitter, at Roswar, at Chino Supersized, and at underscore Stan C. So again, Thunder Rosa on the next episode of the Wrestling Podcast. And after that, of course, you've got your live stream happening every Thursday night at 7 p.m. dito sa Facebook and on Kumu. So follow us at Wrestling Pod on FB and on Kumu at Wrestling Pod. Any other plugs? Chino, what's happening with you this weekend?
All right. So I have a few things happening on my end. No new episode of Class Clown this week because, yeah, boy, I forgot to book a guest.
Pwede pala yun.
Ako may kasalanan yun. So sorry, Mikai. That's my bad. But you,
sorry, dito mo announcing.
But, you know, you're not without content this week because I was a guest on the latest episode of Bago Matulog with Red Oliero, which is up right now. You can listen to it after you listen to this on Spotify. We took a deep dive into what it means to be a comedian, much less a fat comedian, in the current scene. Daming hugot din episode na to. We also took a deep dive on wrestling. And this is actually the first time Red and I actually talked about wrestling deeply, like our love for it, and not just shooting the ish on random topics that are out there. We actually talked about it, and it was a good episode. We had so much fun, so I hope you go listen to that. I am also on a Twitch stream. Was on a Twitch stream as of 3 a.m. this morning. So sana naman panoorin nyo para makikita nyo yung effort ko to stay awake, diba? I shared it on my Twitter, but you can check it out yourself. It's at Rick, R-I-K, Carranza, C-A-R-R-A-N-Z-A. He is a comic from the UK who hosts a stream called Clash of Fandoms, and I had to defend Family Guy which against Simpsons, which was very difficult to do on no speak at all. So please watch it on my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Facebook at Chino Supersize.
It's also on his Twitch, no?
Yes, on his Twitch, Rick Garanta.
Yeah.
All right, Ro, how about you?
All right, just going to promote two things. One, the first one is my Twitch, Twitch streaming, twitch.tv/shang_daddy. So playing Mafia, going to play Fall Guy Season 2 this weekend. Also, the second thing to promote, Smark Henry. Please read smarkhenry.com. Good guys doing good work. Wrestling fans pouring out their voice, their feelings on the current wrestling and whatever else have you. Hey, if you want to write, maybe you can shoot me a PM and maybe we'll work it out.
All right. Straight from the EIC.
Yeah.
Okay, for me, a couple of things as well. First, yung Lazada link natin for the Wrestling Podcast, up and running pa rin yan, lalo na't may sale this weekend, 10-10. So if you want to buy anything from Lazada and if you want to help out the Wrestling Podcast, please use this link, tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada. Once again, tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada. Every purchase na mag-check out mo successfully and gets delivered to your doorstep, we get a small cut from that, and that helps keep both the podcast and Podcast Network Asia up and running, helps keep the lights on, so sobrang important nun. I hope you can use that link to go straight to the app or straight to the website, because that really helps us out a lot. My other podcast, On Deck, I've got a new episode out with Nicole Hiala of 90.7 Love Radio. Really fun conversation, kasi sabi nga niya, ako raw yung first high-end DJ na nag-interview sa kanya. So it's kind of fun to hear me try my best na makipagsabayan sa
Nicole Hiala. Can I just say, I was listening to it yesterday, and it's funny how she opens the episode with, sige nga, Tagalog tayo this whole episode. It's just funny that naubusan ka ng Tagalog halfway through the episode.
I also heard it earlier this afternoon, and buti na lang nag-English din siya.
she's very fluent in English.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And hindi naman barok mag-Tagalog. It's just that I think na pressure ako na si Nicole Hiala yung kausap ko na parang shit na nawala na ako ng Tagalog. So, I blame the Saverian in me, let me just say. All right. Last thing that we're gonna plug, shoutout.com. It's our local version of your fan shoutout. So go ahead and book us. I'm on there. Ro is on there. The entire MSG is on there. JDL and Ken Warren, you can also book them if you want. And if you want an individual shout out for your birthday or your anniversary or whatever, if you just had sex for the first time during the pandemic, we'll effing greet you as an individual or as a group. Gagawin namin yan lahat. So just book us on shoutout.com. All right, that's it. Thank you so much to everybody who joined us for tonight's stream of the Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for enjoying all the content we put out, whether as individuals or as a group. Really means a lot to us. Keep sending in those comments or on those questions online. We're going to take note of those, especially for the Thunder Rosa episode next week. And shout out to Babyface producer Nikai for putting all of this together, and the fine folks of Podcast Network Asia who finally hooked Ro up with a sweet mic.
Yes.
So once again,
ayuda. So once again, follow us at Wrestling2XPod, at Roiswar, at Chino Supersized, at _Stancy. With that, we'll catch you again next week. Wrestling Podcast out. Thank you.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.